closer. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Hold That Thought Educational Moment. Today, I'm going to be discussing how to communicate with talent buyers and venue owners, what to do, and more importantly, what not to do. We've experienced this scenario many times over the years. It starts off with a simple email. 15 minutes later, you get a Facebook message. 15 minutes after that, you receive a voicemail. And then shortly after the phone call, you receive a tweet, all within an hour span. The sad thing about this situation is that I'm not exaggerating. This happens all the time. When we experience something like this, I can't help but think, why would I want to work with someone who refuses to give us at least 24 hours to reply? The outcome will always be the same for us because we won't take on any new artists who lack professionalism. So if you're trying to obtain new work, then show some professional courtesy. Give the buyer or venue owner some time to process the message and reply. Response rates are not a click away. To better understand the business, we need to know that talent buyers and venue owners get bombarded with band submissions daily. So how do we get our message through to them without harassing them? I'm going to tell you. First, respect their time. Whether you're emailing or calling, give it 2 weeks before you check back in. Find out what their favorite form of communication is. For example, go to their website first before you send a message over social media. This will tell you a lot. I myself want to spend as little time on social media as possible. So the best way to reach me is by phone or email. I use social media to market the business and connect with friends. I don't use it to acquire talent and secure dates. Read the band submission page before you hit send. If they ask for an EPK and you don't have one, then why waste their time? If they ask for a live video of the band and you don't have one, why waste their time? If it's a cover show and you send a set list with 10 songs for a 4-hour gig, don't expect a reply back. You are trying to obtain work, not the other way around. If you went into an interview for a 9-to-5 job and they required you fill out an application beforehand, but you couldn't provide all the information on that application, why would you expect to get the job? It's the same situation. The only difference is you're probably going to get paid more as a musician. Over the years, I've acquired a better understanding of how talent buyers work, not just because we book for venues, but also because I myself solicit for 2 bands. Both bands that I inquire about have moved on from the bar gigs and are in search of either corporate functions or all original festivals. I've been doing this for about 3 years now, and it's been a huge learning experience for me. Here are some of the insights that I picked up over the last 3 years. Number one, get used to being rejected. You experience a very low return rate on converting new opportunities into actual sales. My first couple of years, the percentage was right around 2. I have slowly climbed up to an 11% rate, which is still nowhere near the place I want to be. When you hear the word no, don't get discouraged. Get creative and work harder. The music business is not about getting lucky. It's about hard work. Number 2, track your data. This will give you insight into the industry. What is the most optimal day to send an email? What is the best time for a cold call? When do talent buyers schedule their shows and events? Without this knowledge, you're just wasting time. I use a CRM, but for my first couple years, I got by with a simple Google Doc sheet. Some of the stuff I record and track is when did I send the email? Did they reply back? If they did reply back, what time of day was it? What day, actual day did they reply back? This gives me a lot of insight on how people work. And the better knowledge you have about how talent buyers and venue owners work, the better you're going to be at landing gigs. Number three, your content that you send over. What exactly is in the email? This is very crucial. Long bios and a lot of links are just not working anymore. Make sure you have a high definition promo video that explains and showcases exactly what your project is, whether it's a solo gig or a full band. Put that video in the email, and more importantly, put the video in there so it's easily accessible. I like YouTube links because I can click right on the YouTube link and I can watch it right at the bottom of my email. I don't want to go to someone's Facebook page and have to scroll down their Facebook page to look for their video. I just don't have that time to do that. Make it easier for the talent buyer to find your material. Leave out the bio and add in the dates that you're soliciting. Add those dates in there, add a short introduction of the band and a professional video. I cannot express that enough. The major venues and gigs that I've landed have all been from high quality videos. Website, it's great to add the website link. I like to check the website link so I could see where the bands are playing, look at their website, updated schedule. Some people really don't go there. A lot of people use their Facebook page as their landing site. That's not bad. If you do that, keep your Facebook page updated. Keep the videos on the left-hand side. Keep the schedule on the left-hand side. Don't make people go scrolling down the page to look for something. All right. Number four, and this is my last, the last one. Realize that there are different courses for different horses. Knowing what type of venue or event you are contacting is key. Over the years, we've had every type of genre contact us for the cover venues we represent. If you're a singer-songwriter, then soliciting a venue that showcases top 40 dance music is not going to be the right fit for you. There's nothing wrong with the venue that kindly tells you that your music is not the right fit. I hear it all the time. Once an owner told me that one of our bands, this is a great story, is a craft beer bar in Seminole Heights. And I contacted them about a folk project I was working with. And the venue owner said, hey, look, they play too many corporate gigs. And I was like, all right, okay. And I really didn't understand it till years later that she was correct. She did not want that feel. She didn't want a cover style band in her bar. She wanted real, true, original artists. Not that this band wasn't, but it's her venue. She's got the ability to make that choice. So know what course works for you and stick with it. So I hope you enjoyed these tips. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to add a text in my blog called Tip Jar, and they will have everything we discussed in this podcast. You can look them over. Feel free to add any insight. Send us a comment. Send us an email. We are always trying to grow. I'm new in this business, so I have a lot to learn, and there's always room to improve, and I'm only going to improve by your input. So shoot us an email, and I'll add that in the updated podcast or blog. I hope you guys have a great St. Patrick's Day, and this is John Samuel signing off with Hold That Thought.